We'll see if you can finish this sentence. I'll be happy when... And you fill in the blank. How long do we have here this morning? There could be a million different answers. I'll be happy when the 49ers win the Super Bowl. Would that be one of them today? Or I'll be happy when I grow up and am able to move out of my parents' house, as my younger son Josh reminds. Or I'll be happy when summer comes and I don't have to go to school anymore. I'll be happy when I go on vacation. I'll be happy when I fall in love and get married and have children. I'll be happy when I have enough money to buy a new car. I'll be happy when I get promoted to a new job. I'll be happy when I retire. Or I'll be happy when I get my health back. I hear that one a lot. I'll be happy when it's over. How would you answer that question? What will make you happy? And how long will it take? What are the chances that it's going to happen anytime soon? 1 year? 5 years? Ever? Or maybe today? Maybe this could be the day. Maybe this could be the moment of happiness and fulfillment in God. Well, Jesus has some wisdom, a lot of wisdom on the subject to share today. But before I go much further, I was struck by the way the Message paraphrases the reading this morning of the Beatitudes. Are you familiar with Eugene Peterson's The Message? He puts it this way. You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God. You are blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the creating one who is dear to you. You're blessed when you're content just the way you are. No more, no less. That's the moment when you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. God's food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourself cared for. You're blessed when you get inside your world, your own mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world as well. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. There ends Eugene Peterson's translation. Well, Jesus' wisdom might not make sense to many people. What he says seems backwards, I suspect, upside down, according to the world's standards today. Jesus says, for example, blessed are the poor in spirit. The first thing that we notice is the vocabulary really ought to change a bit on this translation today. He doesn't talk about happiness, though some translations of the Bible still translate it as happiness. But, you know, happy had a different meaning back in the day of Jesus than it has for us today. So blessed would be a better word here. Happiness is taking the summer off. Happiness is getting promoted or getting a new car or watching the 49ers win in the Super Bowl later today. Jesus has something different in mind, something that goes even deeper, something that might seem strange when many people first hear it. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. How could that be? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the gentle, the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now you see what I mean by these teachings appearing to many to be upside down. Those are not the rules as secular society knows them today. The rules of society might say, blessed are the rich because they can buy what they want. Blessed are the strong because they can take what they want. Blessed are the winners because it is no fun to lose. Blessed are those who hunger for the best restaurants because they will be filled. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. How strange is that to many ears? We can't do justice to all the Beatitudes today, so we'll just really hone in on the first one today because the first one is foundational for all the rest. And chances are, if you're in sync with the first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, you'll probably be in sync with the rest of them as well. And if you're not, the others will probably be lacking also. So Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The Greek word that they translate as poor means abject poverty. And true poverty is a cruel thing. It breaks people down. They lose hope. They suffer for basic things. They may go hungry or lack a roof over their heads. They sleep on the streets, even here in town. The poor watch eagerly for a gesture, a glance from anyone that might indicate a bit of hope or promise, maybe a morsel of food. The poor long for a bit of kindness. They sit by the roadside begging. Standing before God, they bring nothing in their hands. They have nothing. Nothing that God needs. Nothing that compels or forces God to accept them. But that's just the point. That's just the good news for them. The poor in spirit come to God in their poverty, hoping that God will provide. They come to God in their brokenness, hoping that God will mend them. The poor in spirit come to God in their sin, hoping that they will be forgiven. The poor in spirit come to God in their grief, hoping to be comforted. The poor in spirit come to God in their illness and their infirmities, hoping to be healed. It is their humility that makes them fertile soil to receive God's blessings. They are blessed when they realize that God is near and cares about the poor, the downtrodden, the marginalized, and the forgotten. Some people know what it is to be broken. Only until they're broken do they become blessed. They are closer to the kingdom because nothing stands in their way. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who come to God empty and with humility. How about you? Do you come to God empty and with humility today? If so, you are blessed because God will lift you up, as the rousing hymn says that we just sang. Do you remember one of the foundational tenets of AA? They believe that only a power greater than themselves can restore them to sobriety. It could be God. It could be a benevolent universe. But they know they cannot save themselves. They need something else. And Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know they cannot save themselves. I suspect we fight hard not to be poor in spirit. It doesn't feel very good when we're in that place. But when your soul is empty, there's more room for God to fill it up. When your cup is empty, God can make it overflow. You can be poor in your wallet, but rich in spirit. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Some people are so desperate to be in control, so desperate to do things their way, and spend so much energy on things that do not satisfy. There are those who work long hours to buy things they do not need, to impress people they do not like. Why do we do it? Why do we go through the motions? because Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. In his book entitled The Way to Go, Pastor Gilbert Brown tells about a young boy who is admitted to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. And shortly thereafter, the boy's father arrived. And it was clear from his manner and his clothing that the father had lots of money and he was accustomed to giving orders and having things done his way. And as the doctor tried to care for the boy, the father began to shout, why aren't you doing something? I want the best care for my boy that money can buy. And he pounded his fist on the table. I want you to fly him to the best specialist in the country. Do something for my boy. And the physician turned to the father and said, there's nothing your money can do for that boy. All you can do is wait. And the most important thing is pray. You can pray. Waiting can be hard, and patience can grow thin. Have you been there? I suspect we all have at one time or the other. And when I read that story, I wondered about the father, not knowing him. Maybe he didn't know how to pray, or maybe he had been neglecting his prayer life. Don't wait until you're in a crisis or emergency to pray. Now is the time to make a habit of learning to pray and to be close to God, and then it'll be there. You'll be ready when you need it. He was accustomed to demanding what he wanted. The father was accustomed to throwing his money on the table and saying, do something, and expecting something to be done. And you have to feel sorry for such a man. There's probably others out there like him. He was faced with the most terrible crisis of his life, and yet his lack of spirituality left him unprepared. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. This terrible moment might have been an occasion for the father to come face to face with his own inadequacies and God's sufficiencies, but it was not. He ran up against something that money could not buy and something that he could not control. And he was a long way from feeling blessed. In a crisis, the father might have recognized the deep need that he had so long ignored. The word crisis in the Greek is translated as opportunity. We probably don't think when we're in a crisis about opportunity, and yet that's what Jesus suggests that we have before us. That in that moment, the father might have become poor in spirit, feeling his own powerlessness, being able to approach God on his knees, and able finally to acknowledge that he could bring nothing to the table and plead for God's mercy. That's what it means to be poor in spirit, and blessed are you when you are in that place. When I think about the Beatitudes, I think about the tumultuous times, the uncivil times in which we live. And I wonder, could this make a difference if our politicians, if our representatives would embrace the Beatitudes today? Does that seem like a pipe dream? Jesus doesn't think so. He puts it out there for all of us to read. Henry Nouwen, the late Catholic priest and author, once met Mother Teresa in Rome. And the first thing he noticed about her was her constant focus on Jesus. People were asking questions, and she was answering in a way that reflected her total focus on Jesus. Her answer sounded at first perhaps a bit simplistic and naive, he thought. But Nouwen finally had an opportunity to speak with Mother Teresa, and he told her of his problems. He spoke of his struggles, and he asked her advice. And she answered simply, read the Beatitudes, but take an hour to do it. Read the Beatitudes, but take an hour to do it. By then, it'll become a part of you. It sounded simplistic, Nouwen said, but yet he tried it and he found it to be profound, and it was life-changing. He'd never thought about reading the Beatitudes in that manner. Read the Beatitudes, but take an hour to do it. And Nouwen said, with these words, she addressed all of his problems. Nouwen said that by the end of the hour, he was not simply reading the Beatitudes, but he had internalized them and they had become a part of him. He was praying the Beatitudes. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Are you feeling blessed yet? I hope you are. The meaning of this first beatitude and all the others is that God blesses us when we come empty-handed and with humble hearts. Not when we feel well off and that we have everything that we need and we're satisfied and we're in good health. Chances are we won't make much time for God at that point. But wisdom comes when you put yourself in a place to hear God and to know the answers. And the promise is this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And by that, Jesus means the kingdom can be theirs today. It can be yours today, not some future action, not when you die and go to heaven, not when Jesus comes back, but the kingdom can be yours today. And this runs through all of Jesus' teachings in so many different places. It was one morning earlier this week. There was a beautiful sunrise, and I was out walking my dog. Maybe, I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday. The sun was rising. There were so many brilliant colors, the oranges, the yellows, the reds, and the blues that streaked across the sky and the sun just on the horizon. And I started walking, and my best friend was by my side, and I thought for a moment, wow, you're walking in the kingdom of God right now. Right here and right now, God is present. In this moment, it's a very thin place, as the Celts like to say, heaven and earth are one. In closing, just this last week, I came across a translation of the New Testament that I'd never seen or heard of before. It's a Native American translation, and I was reading in particular the Beatitudes. It's called the First Nations Version of the Bible, the First Nations Version, and it's a translation through Native American eyes. It's supposed to be published in June of 2020. Hopefully it'll come out. But I was really moved when I read this, and the translator puts it this way from a Native American perspective. When Creator saw this great crowd, he went back up into the mountainside and sat down to teach the people. His followers came to hear him there, and so he took a deep breath, opened his mouth, and began to share his wisdom with them and teach them how to see Creator's good road. Creator's blessing rests on the poor, the ones with broken spirits. The good road from above is theirs to walk. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who walk a trail of tears, for he will wipe the tears from their eyes and comfort them. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who walk softly and in a humble manner. The earth, land, and sky will welcome them and always be their home. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who hunger and thirst for wrongs to be made right again. They will eat and drink and be full. Creator's blessings rest on the ones who are merciful and kind to others. Their kindness will find its way back to them full circle. Creator's blessing rests on the pure of heart, for they are the ones who will see the Great Spirit. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who make peace. It will be said of them, they are children of the Great Spirit. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who are hunted down and mistreated for doing what is right, for they are walking the good roads from above. May the kingdom of God be yours today. Not tomorrow, not next year, but today. May you be blessed, and may you be a blessing to others. Amen.